Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Al-Bayan Live. I'm your host, Abu Abdurrahman, and I'm very pleased to be joined by my dear beloved brother and Sheikh, Sheikh Jameel Al-Biza. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you on this Wednesday evening?
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah, good. Good, good.
Very. It's been a few weeks. It's good to get back on track.
Yeah, it has. It has been a few weeks, subhanAllah. But it's nice to be back here.
Not that it matters much to us. It's the first one of 2021.
Is it? Yeah, it is. It is, subhanAllah. Yalla.
It is. January.
We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it to be, inshaAllah, a blessed beginning towards a blessed end, inshaAllah.
Ameen. Yes, we'd like to welcome all our viewers on Facebook and all those listening on the Al-Bayan Radio app and also on the Wi-Fi radios. Welcome to this episode. If you'd like to contribute, you can. Leave your comments, feedbacks, questions on our Facebook page there. Barakallahu feekum. Today we have an interesting episode, as the poster indicates. Nice title.
Yes.
You are not alone.
You are not alone. That's right. That's right, 100%.
Before we get into it, how's your week been? How's these new restrictions kicked in last
the
week?
The mask is a bit hard to get used to.
Yes.
Yani.
Places of worship, for those listening out of New South Wales or out of Australia, places of worship now, it's mandatory in Sydney and New South Wales to wear a mask.
Yes, it's been a bit difficult getting used to it.
Yes.
And getting others as well to jump on board and actually try to, you know, follow suit. But alhamdulillah, the masajid, I think, yani, the overall, you know, the majority, if not every single person I've spoken to, alhamdulillah, they've accepted the fact that, look, whatever I, you know, like or dislike, it doesn't really matter. If it keeps the masjid open and it keeps the people safe, then look, we've got to do it.
And some don't want to be fined $200, do they?
That's another thing. That's another thing. The fine is $200, and honestly, I think the community is a lot more in need of that money than the government at the moment.
Have you seen some funny masks yet? I have.
Wallahi, I haven't. I have just the regular masks, alhamdulillah. I haven't seen anything quite strange.
People are getting innovative, just to say the least.
Look, yani, that's human nature. Human nature is that, you know, try to make the best out of everything. And if it's going to make people laugh by wearing certain, you know, types of masks, yani, so be it. Yani, let these guys, go out there and be a bit, how would you say, artistic in their masks.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. It is the school holidays as well. How's your school holidays with your family been?
Wallahi, tried to spend as much time, or trying to spend as much time as I can. What happened is that a lot less lessons, but a lot more meetings, which...
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, because everybody's off, and so the meetings become more frequent, subhanAllah.
I think it's for all of us.
And the rain affected, I think, a lot of it as well.
It's been a wet summer, hasn't
it? It's been a wet summer, which is beautiful. I love it.
Same here.
I love it. It's not easy for the kids, staying at home and not having the option of going outside the house when it's raining. But, yani, alhamdulillah, we're a lot better than others. We're a lot better state than others, and we say alhamdulillah da'iman.
Alhamdulillah, which brings us to our brothers and sisters around the world. Make dua for our brothers and sisters around the world. There are many, many situations and issues that our Muslim brothers and sisters are facing, and maybe we'll shed some light on some of them later on. Make dua for them. Never forget your brothers and sisters, those who are in a less fortunate or less blessed situation than you are. Make dua for them and ask Allah to help them and aid them wherever they may be. Let's start, Sheikh Jameel. You are not alone. Why this topic, as our normal first question always is?
Wallahi, 2020 has been tough. We're at the start of 2021, being a da'iyah, working in the community, you get to see a lot of circumstances, especially with the bushfires that hit New South Wales, Victoria, and Queensland. Then you had COVID that hit the world, in the early 2020.
Still going.
It's still going, subhanAllah. And then you have everyday issues of people's lives, you know, the financials, their marriage problems, their problems with their children, those that are at university now, they've got to, you know, do everything online, then falling behind, some people passing, some people failing. At the end of the year, we saw the HSC results coming out and everybody waiting for their results. And some people, alhamdulillah, mashallah, our community, yani, we're blessed, many, many students passed with flying colours and received great, you know, results in the HSC, while others, you know, not so great. And all of these things that are happening in our day-to-day life, mixed with the fitan of the external nature, Many people felt like they're alone. And there's no, who they talk to? Who do they turn to? If it's about corona, everybody's got the corona. Everybody's worried about corona. If it's about the bushfires, and then you've got the marriage problems. Then you've got the economical problems. Then
floods
the
weren't too long problems. Ago either, were they?
The floods, into
2019.
Yeah, isn't it? Subhanallah. Like I said, so the, all these things, and you notice that many of the Muslims they were, you know, lashing out. Whether it's lashing out at you know communities, groups, governments. Whether it's the ambulance, police, fire brigade, whatever, because naturally, humans, you know, want to, you know, hold people to account, want to hold someone to account for what's happening in their life. And if people are needed to be held accountable, then so be it. But sometimes there's things that aren't in our hands as humans. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we get to a stage where we start to then become saddened and felt this sorrow. That you know, who do we turn to? So the topic about that we're not alone. It's two phased. Yeah, and it's we're not alone, as in Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is with us, and we should understand that. Not just for the Muslims, not just for the Muslims. Yeah, and even all of humanity should understand that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, their Creator, is with them. He's the one that provides for them. He's the one that gives them sustenance. He's the one that has given them health. He's the one that's given them this world to live in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them. That's the ma'iyya al-amma, as the ulama would mention. Yani the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with people, generally, He's the one that created everyone. And so he takes care of them. He provides for them.
So He hasn't created the earth and left it as some...
Exactly. He didn't leave and then, He didn't create and then leave. No, He created and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of it. And everything that happens in this universe is under the control and command and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's the first part. The first part is that as humans in general, and Muslims in particular, believers in particular, need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. So you're never alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you in the Quran that if my servants ask of me, then I am near. Then I am near. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu felt this when he was with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, as mentioned in the Quran, as mentioned as you know, the story goes is that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns to him and he says, why do you have a doubt in our safety, in our protection, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us? This is something that if we as Muslims start to understand and believe. And know that we can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're never alone. We're never alone. We can always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask of Him.
هو معكم أينما كنتم.
That's it. And that's the ma'iyya al-amma that we're talking about, the ma'iyya al-general ma'iyya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with everybody. Wherever you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you.
So what's the specific ma'iyya?
The specific is the ones that are the believers. The awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophets, the messengers. But also... the muhsinin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the muhsinin, the sadiqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the sadiqeen, the muttaqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the muttaqeen, al-mu'mineen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the mu'mineen. All of these are mentioned in the Quran. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who remember Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who believe in Him. And as Muslims, we have that. Yeah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who don't believe in Him and He provides for them and He safeguards them, then how about us as Muslims? And one of our teachers, he said that when we were born healthy, alhamdulillah. We were given sustenance in our mother's bellies before we even came out. Then we were born. We were taught through the fitrah on how to breathe and how to suckle. We were given milk, we were given nourishment, sustenance, protection, until we grew and we began to walk, kept on growing, became stronger. He taught us how to speak, taught us how to write. And all of this is happening. And now, after many years, we are young men and women, we are strong, we are capable, we are, you know, we're in our 20s, we're in our 30s, 40s, 50s. This strength, financial strength, the physical strength, the mental capabilities, all of this without asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we're getting to. If a person sits down and realizes that everything that I've got from the day that I was born, even 9 months before I was born, even the fact that my parents were married to one another was from the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this up until today, and me sitting here before you, I'm 40 years old. My whole life, Allah, whatever He gave me, I'm telling you. And me, like the majority of people, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, I did not ask for. I didn't ask for it. I don't remember that when I was growing up that I used to raise my hand and say, "Ya Allah, provide for me a pious wife, children, a home, a car, some wealth."
These are things we pretty much neglect.
We neglect it and we take for advantage. We never asked for it.
Blessings.
What we do ask is when we're about to, sit an exam. We remember, because our parents will tell you, make dua to Allah. If we're sick, if somebody else is sick, if somebody else passes away, our parents will inform us. As we're growing older, our parents will say, make dua for them. They've passed away. Make dua for this person. He's sick. Make dua for your family. They're doing it tough financially. And we might once, twice, maybe 10, 20 times in our entire life turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our own self. But in my 40 years, how many times have I honestly, and this is the question that I ask the brothers and sisters to ask themselves, in the 40 years, in the 30 years, in the 20 years that you've been alive, how many times have you raised your hand and asked for things to be placed in your life? The ability to breathe, for your lungs to work, your kidneys, your heart. For the fact that you're able to stand and to walk, to talk and to hear and to listen, to see the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When was the last time we asked of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? We didn't. So the Shaykh, he was saying to us, he was saying, if all of this was given to you without asking Allah, this is from His ihsan to you. This is from the goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, that He gave it to you without asking. So now when you ask, He's going to reject you? Allahu Akbar. Now that we ask and we believe in Him and we believe in His message and we believe in the Messenger and we believe in Islam from the start to the end, and we pray our five and we fast the month of Ramadan and we pay the zakat when we have to, and alhamdulillah, we want to go to Hajj, and if not, we've gone already to Hajj. We believe in Allah. So now when I ask Him, He's going to leave me? If we understand that, then we need to know that we're not alone. Truly, we're not alone. And this is, I think, for everyone, especially when we're going through these issues now, especially when we went through, I think, the lockdown. Our brothers in the south of us, Victoria, they went through a severe lockdown. Those around the world, and our brothers and our sisters in Lebanon, they begin their lockdown on Thursday, tomorrow, for 4 weeks, I think it was. Other countries have been doing lockdown even more severe than that.
The UK is entering it now as well.
So people are going into lockdown and they feel that they're alone. Even though they're in lockdown with their family, they're in lockdown with their children, with their spouses, with their mothers and fathers. And some are locked down by themselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them patience.
Amen.
But if we knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, and He's the one that we turn to when we need help, and if we do want to communicate with anyone, there's no better one to communicate with than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that we do in our life is knowing the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all these favors and ni'am upon us, and we need to show gratitude to that. But even when we're showing gratitude through our acts of worship, we're still asking of that blessing, needing that blessing, wanting that blessing. And so we're not alone. And that's one side of the conversation that that I wanted to talk about, is that the fact that as a Muslim, and even for the non-Muslims, and if anybody's not Muslim listening to us, God created us He's our creator. He did not leave us. And that is why in the Hadith al-Qudsi, that if a servant of his, not a Muslim, a servant, any person, asks for guidance, he will guide him. A person with sincerity in their asking of Allah, if they're a Majusi, they're a Yahudi, they're a Masihi, whatever deen, يعني, they're Hindu, they're Buddhist, whatever they are, they're atheist, whatever you are. If you are sincere in asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, guide me, He will guide you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you need food, He will provide for you. You need clothes, He will cover you. You need, water, He will give you water. What do you need? Ask of Him and He will provide for you.
What's fascinating as well is that Allah doesn't only know what we say, He knows what's in our hearts.
Of course. And He understands when you're sincere and when you're not. He knows that. But as a Muslim, this closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it shouldn't be, taken for granted that the fact that we've said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always with us, that's it. No, you need to get closer to Allah. You need to make that decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there through His knowledge, through His hikmah, His wisdom, His ability to control. He's there. But you need to take a step closer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Hadith al-Qudsi that's narrated by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am at the good assumption of my slave. If he thinks good of me, then I am good. And if he thinks ill of me, then I am of that which he thinks of me. My slave doesn't get closer to me except with what I have made obligatory upon him. Getting closer to Allah. And he keeps on getting closer to me through the sunnah acts.
Not obligatory. And no effort. Voluntary, yeah.
The voluntary acts. Until when? So we're getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you keep on doing these acts, the obligatory acts and the voluntary acts, you keep on doing these acts, you're getting closer to Allah. Then He is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the narration, the eyesight, the hearing, the hand, meaning the batsh, yani when you actually, go to touch something, and your feet, He is of them. Meaning, the ulama said, meaning that you will not look at anything except through the guidance of Allah. You will not see anything except through the guidance of Allah. You will not hear anything except through the guidance of Allah. You will not touch anything except through the guidance of Allah. You will not walk towards anything except through the guidance of Allah. You want this protection, you want this ma'iyyah, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, you need to take a step as well. You need to take a step. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith that the best things, the best type of faith, iman, is knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. That knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. And that is why even in the levels of our faith, we have the pillars of Islam. We have the pillars of Iman, and then we have Ihsan. And Ihsan is, as mentioned by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, it is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you see Him. And if you do not see Him, then know that He sees you. So now we're moving into the second part of that you're not alone. Everything you do, you need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you. Every prayer that you've prayed, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness over that. Every sadaqah that you've given, every fast that you fasted, everything you've done, every letter of the Quran that you've read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard and has saw. This ma'iyyah, this closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allows you to perfect that amal, to perfect that act. When I know that my teacher is watching over me, then I perfect my actual actions. When I know my father, my mother is looking over me, when I know my boss is looking over me, you perfect your work. You focus more. You focus more. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest of examples. Knowing that you're not alone, is not just for your benefit, as in, wallah, I'm just going to be or have this knowledge that I'm not alone. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for me, take care of me, safeguard me. As Musa said when he got to the ocean, he said, in Allah, what? Ma'i. Inna ma'i ya Rabbi sayhdi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's with me, he'll guide me. It's not just about your own protection and safeguardance and provisions, no. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you and you're not alone allows you to perfect your amal, to perfect your actions. We're not sloppy with our actions when we know that God is with us. Because I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's watching over me. So when I pray, I want to perfect that prayer. When I fast, I want to know that this fasting that I'm fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my sincerity in it. He knows when I'm fasting for him or fasting for others. He knows whether I'm truly fasting from food and drink only or from fasting from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see. And if he can see the good, he can see the bad. He can see the righteous action, he can see the evil action.
You know, in the hadith as well, you mentioned the hadith of the Qudsi as well. Is there a checklist there or a way for someone who wants to reform himself and get better? That is to start off with the obligations exactly. And then work towards the voluntary or the non-obligatory actions.
Of course.
So, for example, one would start off with learning about Allah, the prayer.
Exactly. And that is why when we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are always accused of this. Yeah, I mean, all you talk about is Tawheed. All you talk about, even though that's incorrect. Yeah, I mean, mashallah, our colleges are proof for that. We teach everything.
Alhamdulillah.
But why do we focus on Tawheed? Because of that very same understanding that you just mentioned. Because that's the first obligation. The first obligation is to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. When you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know the obligations, then you know the prohibitions, then you know, you need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the same way why we start with the 5 daily prayers instead of we starting with the sunnah prayers, the voluntary prayers. And that is why it's a warped understanding that you see some Muslims will go to Salat al-Eid, but they won't go to Salat al-Jum'ah, and they won't pray their 5 daily prayers. They'll go to Taraweeh, but they don't pray Isha. You come to the masjid a little bit later, you pray Taraweeh, but you're not praying Isha. It's a warped understanding.
So why I bring this up as well is you see many brothers and sisters who are going through dilemmas in their life and they're not praying or they don't know much about Allah, they don't know much about their religion. They're proud to be Muslim, but that's far as it goes. So that's where we need to start, isn't it? With knowing Allah, establishing your 5 daily prayers, and then continuing on that way. As the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, exactly. When he sent Mu'adh to Yemen and other narrations, call people to La ilaha illallah, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And that's the first obligation. Yani that is known. And as a Muslim, when I say I'm proud to be Muslim, that's one thing. My implementation of that religion is another. If I'm, as they say, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, the highest of examples. But when I hear of the generosity of an individual by one person, then I take that as news, but I'm not really certain. When I hear it is mutawatir, everybody's talking about this individual, talking about the generosity of this individual. You know, multimillionaire, whenever you see him, he will gift you, even if it is something small, perfume, but he will gift you always. If he meets you in person, then you're not going to be walking out there except with a house or a car or this kind of generosity. By Allah, if you knew about a person like this, you will make an effort. You'll make an effort. Even if it's just out of fudul, just to know, to learn about their life. Where'd they come from? Why are they this generous? Where'd they get their wealth from? You learn about them. Why? Because it's natural that you learn something positive about someone. You want to know what's their story? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you everything in your life. Everything that you've touched, everything that you've seen, everything that you've heard is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it never once crossed your mind to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. And this is amazing. And this is why when you have some brothers, they say, Yani, when I pray, I feel like it's so heavy. It's so heavy. Ramadan comes and everybody's happy and I'm not. I'm frustrated. Well, of course, yeah, Habibi, you don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning to prayer would be like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam turning to prayer. Arihna biha ya Bilal. Allow us to feel some kind of tranquility, ya Bilal. Allow us to feel some kind of relaxation, O Bilal. But when you don't know Allah, yeah, of course it's a chore. Of course it's heavy. You don't know who you're praying to. But if you knew who you're praying to, you knew who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and you know that you're not alone, that He is providing and He's safeguarding you, and that is why He's called Ar-Rabb. Because He's the one that Rabba, He's the one that nourishes and nurtures and safeguards. That's the Rabb. Protects, looks after. That's why you say Rabbul Bayt, you know, who's the father or the mother? He's the person in charge of the home. Rabbul Manzil, Rabbul Al-Amal, you know, the person in charge of your work, your boss. He's called Rabb. Not a Rabb as in Lord, A'udhu Billah. But Rabbul Amal, Idafatan. This person is in charge. So when I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me, I know that I need to show gratitude for everything He has given to me. And when I'm showing that gratitude, I need to know that He is with me. So that means He can see me. He can hear me. I need to perfect that sign of gratitude, whether it's the prayers, the fasting, or any other acts that I do, being truthful, honest, you know, of good character. But also I need to know that every sin that I do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over me. He's with me. So if you truly knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you and you're not alone, would we do the acts that we do that anger Him? We wouldn't. And that is why anyone who commits a sin is ignorant of God. Ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ma'iyah, the fact that He's with you. And that's why the ulama said, doesn't matter how much knowledge a person has, when you fall into sin, you're in the state of jahiliyyah, of jahl, of ignorance. Because for that split second, that 5 minutes, that 1 hour, that year of your life, that 2 years of your life, you could claim yourself as being a Muslim. But for during those 2 years you're committing sin, you're in a state of jahiliyyah, you're in a state of ignorance. Because you didn't really know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Once Ibn Umar was walking with one of his workers, servants, and they saw a shepherd, a miskeen darwish, yani a person who, that's his job. Yeah, but he's a servant at the same time, he's a slave. So he's a shepherd, but he doesn't get any money for it because he's a servant at the same time. He's a slave. So they saw him and they said, are you the shepherd? Are you in charge? He said, yes, I am in charge for my master. And I'm taking care of the herd of animals, the flock of sheep, the goats, the whatever the animals were. I'm taking care of them for my master. He said, will you sell me one? Will you sell me one? He said, no, I can't. They're not mine. I can't sell them to you. So Ibn Umar here, he wanted to test him. And he said, tell your master that a wolf ate it and give me it and keep the money. Look at the test. So the master, the slave, he turned to Ibn Umar and he said, وَأَيْنَ Allah. If you're saying, I'm going to do this to my master, I can just tell him that, you know, the wolf ate it. Not a problem. I can tell my master that the wolf ate it. He said, and Allah, where is he?
What do I say to Allah?
What do I say to Allah? Ibn Umar here, as soon as he heard this, he began to cry. And he said to his the person that was with him, he said, go and find out who's his master. So they found out who the master was, and he said, I want to buy your slave, and I want to buy the flock. The man offered, put a sum of money down. So Ibn Umar agreed. So he bought the master, he bought the slave, and he bought all the flock. And he released him for the sake of Allah, and he gifted him the flock of sheep. And he said to him the famous wording in the hadith, in the athar. He said, words that you said benefited you in this world, and I only hope that it will benefit you also in the hereafter. Ayn Allah. So where's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're telling me in this equation, I can get out of it. Yes, I can. With my master, he won't know. I can get out of it. But where's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this equation?
So this is a question we should always ask ourselves.
We need to always ask ourselves, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I'm doing an act? As soon as you realize that you're not alone, it's not about the righteousness anymore. A lot of us need to understand that we're not alone when we're going to commit sin. When we're going to lie. When we're going to cheat. We're going to rip off someone. Not going to finish a task. We're going to hurt someone. We're going to sell drugs. We're going to chase someone down. We're going to stand over someone. We're going to cheat on our wife. We're going to cheat on our husband. We're going to lie. We're going to swear. We're going to curse. We're going to steal. Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that equation? This is the thing. The thing is that it's not impossible. Some brothers say, well, I'm in the game. Yani. It's very hard, Sheikh, to get out. No, it's not. It's not. What's hard is to realize and to implement the idea and the concept that you're not alone. Because if you knew that you're not alone, leaving whatever you're in for the sake of Allah, the fact that Allah can see you, you don't want to do it. But also knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, that means He won't leave you when you ask of Him. Didn't we say at the start? We said that if you ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, He will guide you. So I say to the brothers, have you asked Allah for guidance before you try to let go of what you're trying to do? It's very hard. Yes, of course it's very hard for you to let go of a trade that is haram, that's making you $100,000 a week, to go back and work for 12 hours a day and only make $1,500. It's very hard. But as soon as you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you and you're not alone, that 1,500 in your eyes and in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than the 100,000 a week. Why? Because this is halal and that is haram. And in halal, bidum, it will stay with you. But the haram will disappear and yawm al-qiyamah, you will see it again on your side of sins. When you realize that, Once you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, once you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me, but He's with everybody as well, not just with me. So now when I stand in front of a brother and I'm doing standover on him, taking money from him, which is haram. Why? So I can protect his business. This is a lie. You're not a security company. You're basically saying, give me money so I don't burn down your business. You're not protecting him from anybody else. You're protecting him from yourself. This is la yajuz. So when you stand before him, you need to know that you are not alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can watch you. He's watching you with every word that you're saying. He knows of it. But also you need to realize that in front of you, that Muslim brother, if he realizes that he's not alone, guess who he's going to be calling upon to take his haq from you in this world and the hereafter. Because if they realize that they're not alone, he's not going to turn to another boy. He's not going to turn to another gang. He's not going to turn to the police. He's going to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahi, if he's sincere in his dua, he will break your back without you knowing where it come from. Not physically break your back. Ta'diban. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you, and if he grabs hold of you, he won't let you go. Because this guy is a mazloom. And there is no barrier, there's no curtain between the dua of a person who is oppressed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the society knew that we're not alone, all of a sudden the society is all fixed. Because the person that is sinning will stop because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see him. The person that is doing righteous actions will perfect the righteous actions because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see him. And the person who has no guidance will ask for guidance because you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him. Because he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him. And that is what we want to put out, inshallah, as a message, that we're not alone. So anyone who's wanting guidance, turn to Allah. You're not alone. Anyone who's doing righteous actions, perfect it. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. And you're not alone. And anyone who's sinning and transgressing and oppressing, you're not alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. We only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, honestly, to protect us and safeguard us as a community. Amen. To allow us to take these lessons. It's not just a lesson to listen to and say, you know, yeah, you're right, Sheikh. No. You need to implement. You need to start to know. And how are you going to know? How are you going to feel that Allah is with you? You need to learn about Allah. Take some books, read the Quran, learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learn the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named himself Ar-Rahman, because he wants to have mercy upon you. Al-Hakim, because he wants to have some wisdom in dealing with you. He has wisdom in dealing with you. But Al-Jabbar also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a Lord that is like other lords that they have in this world that they believe in. Wallah, he's just there to believe in him and that's it. And then I run my life as we please. No. Allah has set rules, regulations, restrictions. We need to follow them. And it's not about a $200 fine. This is Jannah or Nar. This is heaven or hell. It's not about being questioned by the police, if you're in the train or in the bus, why aren't you wearing your mask and you need to be ready to give an answer. Whether it's a medical reason, whether it's a whatever reason you need to have that prepared. You need to have a paper from the doctor, you need to be prepared. This is not from them. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will ask you on al-qiyamah about everything that you did. That's, I think, why I wanted to talk about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, is that honestly, after everything that we're going through, this is the last thing we have. As an individual, wallahi, sometimes it's the last thing. And it should be the first thing. We understand human nature, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that created us, is that when we run out of all options, we then turn to Allah. Rather, we should be turning to Allah and then taking the means that are present in front of us. If we were to flip the way we deal with things, I think we will be a lot more happier in our lives, content, and we'll feel a lot more secure, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. And that is why I think the topic for tonight, You Are Not Alone, I think is important for myself and all the brothers and sisters that are listening, to take it home and to really start to teach it with their children, making sure that the lesson is really drilled home with their children especially. The biggest gift you can give your child is Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. And a huge part of that oneness of Allah is knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. And when you're scared, He's with you. And when you're happy, He's with you. And when you're alone, He's with you. And with everyone around you, He's also with you. And if we teach our kids that, I think we've come a long way. And inshallah, we will see the benefit of this when they grow up and when they're faced with fitan and trials and when they're faced with obstacles in their life. I think that will be the best blessing that you can give them.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Jamil. Once again, a very beneficial discussion, and you are not alone. Inshallah, Sheikh Jamil will be with us next Wednesday as well. Any final comments, Sheikh Jamil?
I'd like to make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He safeguards the Muslims of India. Amen. We know that in India, and a lot of people aren't talking about what's happening in India, but subhanallah, the atrocities upon our Muslim brothers in India is getting worse, whether it is shutting down schools, whether it is burning down masajid, whether it is the murder of our Muslim brothers and sisters, whether it is the incarceration, the imprisonment of our brothers and sisters, whether it is whatever. I don't think a lot of people are talking about what's happening in India, and I think we should as a Muslim community, and I think that the Muslims of India need to really make their voices heard, and I think more upon the English media, and of course with us here in Australia, we're a very small community, but alhamdulillah we have a loud voice, and we can make that I think very, very public. Also a dua to our beloved Sheikh and brother Sheikh Dr. Muhammad Salah, knowing that his father is in ICU with corona, and also Dr. Muhammad Salah is also affected with the corona, yeah. His whole family. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives them health, full health and full recovery. Yep. And they're only a few, that family, but there are many mashayikh and du'at and brothers of ours and sisters of ours that have been affected. I ask the brothers to take this issue seriously. It's not about what you think is happening around the world. It's the fact that this illness is real. It's real, whether, you know, governments had a play with it or not, it's there. Whether the governments created this or not, it's there. It's not about that anymore. It's about how do we then safeguard ourselves from it, the fact that it's apparent, it's there out there. And if people talked about, oh, AIDS was created in a laboratory somewhere in Africa, this, people still take care of themselves, but they still fear the actual the AIDS disease. They still fear it. They don't just say, I don't believe it, it just came out of a government, you know, thing, and it's all conspiracy. It's there. It's real. COVID is real. You know, yes, we shouldn't, allow it to overtake our life, but it allows us to put our, you know, day-to-day activities into perspective. You know, is it necessity that I need to do this or do that? How do I safeguard myself and my family? How do I safeguard my masjid? How do I safeguard my community? Take the precautions. You don't believe one doctor? Ask another doctor. Ask a third doctor. Ask a fourth doctor. Ask Muslim doctors that you trust, and they will tell you. And if you believe what they say, then follow. And no, it's not going against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not going against that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and he's the sustainer and he's the controller. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to take the asbab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard us, inshallah, in the community. Amen. And inshallah, next week we'll be here, inshallah, to speak about another topic.
JazakAllah khair, wa barakAllah feek. I'd like to thank all our brothers and sisters for viewing us or listening on Facebook and on our apps. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Albayan Media Australia, and also subscribe to all our podcast channels to catch up on all previous programs from Albayan Radio on Podbean, Apple Podcast, SoundCloud, and all other places where you can find your podcast. Barakallahu fikum, my dear brothers and sisters. Once again, I'd like to thank the Sheikh one more time. Jazakallah khair. And until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Albayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.